Fox News Radio, Rachel Sutherland joins us now to give us the details on where we sit right now as we anticipate this meeting coming up over the weekend and then early next week. Thanks for joining us, Rachel.
Well, hello. Yeah, President Trump actually just arriving in Canada not long ago for the G7 summit, and he heads into the summit probably facing some angry faces from some of the world leaders who are upset over these tariffs. The aluminum and steel tariffs that have been now slapped on Mexico and Canada. But the president spoke to reporters before he left. He actually said they'll straighten it out. He says it won't even be hard. In the end, we'll all get along. He actually said we will all be in love again when they're done with this.
That sounds like something Trump would say.
It does. So, but, you know, he's not expected to stay at the G7 all that long because he's going to be heading to Singapore. So it's kind of a back-to-back summit type situation for the president. And as you mentioned, that is coming up really quick next week. He is expected to travel to Singapore, 9,000-mile journey. Singapore being kind of a small city-state in Southeast Asia. It's an island. It's actually held summits like these before. It hosted, I believe in 2015, a sit-down between the leaders of China and Taiwan. Also, they're known for their uber security. You're not allowed to even really protest there without a police permit, and they ban things like banners, spray paint, and things like that. So they're not worried about protests interrupting the summit there in Singapore.
President Trump seems pretty confident about his ability to have this summit. There's been some conversation about how prepared he is or how prepared he's willing to be. What's his take right now on the information that he needs to go and actually effectively have a conversation in Singapore with Kim Jong-un?
The president says he feels prepared for this, and there have been a lot of meetings leading up to this. Of course, we've known that this has been kind of off again, on again, but there's been a lot of meetings in the background, some less in the background. We saw the meetings between Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and a top-ranking North Korean official who came to New York, and then they came down to D.C. and brought this big envelope that was a personal letter from Kim Jong-un to the president. So a lot of this stuff, from what we understand, is oftentimes worked out, you know, in the background before even leaders even come to the table. But also keep in mind the president has said this could take more than one summit, maybe two, three summits going forward, because there's a lot of issues to be worked out, not just the denuclearization of North Korea, but there could be a treaty in place that would officially end the Korean War, and that's something that Congress might even be involved in.
Yeah, that would be very interesting to see that play out. Do we know he's managed expectations pretty well, I think, since at least coming back from the initial cancellation of the summit. We don't have any reason to believe that it's going to be canceled right now, but I guess anything is possible. Going into this meeting with Kim Jong-un in Singapore, has he given us any indication of a specific goal to try to get out of this meeting? Or because he said there might be more, there probably will be more. Do we know anything he's trying to get out of this specific one?
Well, I know that what he's looking for, which he will actually achieve in his mind, is legitimacy on the world stage. For Kim Jong-un to have the opportunity to sit down with a sitting U.S. president is historic. He's looking for that. His father, Kim Jong-il, did not meet with President Clinton. Rather, President Clinton sent then Secretary of State Madeleine Albright to North Korea. So there was some effort at the time to normalize relations with North Korea. That didn't really fly. So for this, for Kim Jong-un, this is something that his father couldn't even accomplish. So this is a big moment for him. So he's looking for that. He's also going to be looking for, let's face it, cold hard cash. He doesn't want the sanctions on his country. He would probably like it if President Trump came with money bags. That's, you know, not going to happen. But he also, though, at the same time, resists Westernization. He doesn't necessarily want American innovation inside North Korea, but that's kind of what the U.S. is coming to the table with. We're not just saying, hey, we're going to give you our tax dollars. We're saying we're going to send in American innovation to rebuild your power grid, help you out there, maybe feed your folks with American agriculture. But again, Mr. Kim, he's not really looking for all that. He wants money.
How large is the group of advisors accompanying the president on this very long journey?
You know, I'm not exactly sure how many staffers are there. I know they've had advanced teams. And when it comes to Air Force One, I guess it'll be a journey of about 18 hours, I would imagine. It's over. And the president has said that he would work on the way. That is really a long flight. It is 9,000 miles away. We understand that Kim Jong-un really doesn't like to fly. but he's expected to arrive. And there's some discussion about which hotel. We're hearing the Shangri-La will be one of the sites, and that Chairman Kim would like a very expensive hotel suite.
Yeah.
So we'll see what he gets. Singapore, fascinating, an Asian country with an English-speaking population, and it's considered a pretty pricey place to be, pretty swanky.
Yeah. Well, Rachel Sutherland, thank you for the update. There will be many more to come, I'm sure. We appreciate it.